These are certainly some strange days that we're living in right now, but you know what? There's not been a time in the history of this world that has not been filled with strange days. Matter of fact, we've been studying about one of the strangest days of all time in our study on Acts leading up to now. We've been studying about Pentecost. We've been looking at how God has broken into the world by giving the power and presence of His Holy Spirit to the people, and it was for a purposeful movement, and that movement is what we witnessed the last time I was with you before all this COVID stuff broke out in the book of Acts, and we saw how God's Spirit just infilled Peter and how he preached a message in Acts chapter 2, and he was preaching to the masses, and multitudes got saved. But when you come to Acts chapter 3, it's no longer to the masses at this point in place and time in Acts chapter 3. It's to the one. It's to the cripple. It's to the beggar. It's to the one that is in desperate need. And so although the church was born at Pentecost, and God gave us that powerful presence and the promise of fulfilled scripture, it's for people. It's for people to get saved. It's for people to have wisdom. It is for that individual to hear the presence and promise of God. You know what? We often wonder, how could God use any of us? We have our baggage, we have our backgrounds, we have our problems, and we look and we say, God couldn't use me. And that's one of the problems that we have, is we limit the power of God so tremendously when we look at what's going on in our own lives, and we think that what's going on in our own lives would keep God from using us tremendously. I'm so glad that's not true. I'm so glad that God raises people up to still be preachers of righteousness, just like he did with Noah. I'm so glad that God still raises people up to be fathers of others. And when I'm talking in that sense, I'm talking in the spiritual sense, that somebody is going to invest in somebody else's life and bring them along. You know, Abraham is the father of nations, but we need people to be fathers of ones. We need people to invest and raise others up. And God can use anybody to do that sort of thing. God can use anybody to rise to that sort of a level. You have someone named Joseph, who became the rescuer of Israel. You look at his background, and it looked like he was never going to get in high speed. But yet, because God had decreed it, it was going to come to pass. Moses to deliver Israel from bondage. Because God saw it, it happened. David to become the right man at the right place and time. You have a role just like any of those heroes of the faith to be what God has decreed, what God has called you to be. The question is, are you looking and asking and seeking? Are you trying to understand what God wants you to do? Is doors being opened for you that you're actually then going through to be the person and presence of God in those situations? Again, what we've seen is he's brought his promise fulfilled. He's brought the presence of the Holy Spirit, which means that the power of God is given to the believer, to the child of God. How did Peter and John become so greatly used by God? Because of God, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit that worked power through them, the same way you and I can. The only way you and I can, by the powerful presence of God to fulfill his exploding purpose in this world around us. And when that powerful presence of God explodes into purpose in our life, he gets the glory. Because of our weaknesses, because of our baggage, because of our problems, we can't take the credit for that. He gets the glory for the things that he does. And when it explodes in our presence, all we can do is say, God is great. God is good. no matter what's going on around us. So join me as we read in Acts chapter 3. We went through Acts chapter 3 just some weeks ago as we were looking at prayers for our day. And what we looked at then was you got to have time and concern for the world around you. You can't be so busy about yourself that you don't see the cripple laying over there. You don't see the person in need over there that you would not take the time to go help because you're too busy. We've got to have time and concern for the world around us. It's so easy to be so selfish. It's so easy to want all the toilet paper. Are you listening to me? It's so easy to want all of the meats and vegetables that are in the display case, and we've seen that these past couple of weeks. We've seen selfishness ruling. We've seen people totally using every facet and means that they can to get what they think they need during this time. You know what you need? You need to listen to God. And when God speaks, that's the needs He has for you. When God tells you something through His Word, when God tells you something through the saints, when God tells you something through His personal, powerful presence known as the Holy Spirit, then God has given you what you need. And most often, what you need has been spelled out by preachers and preaching all these years. And it's not to have an abundance. Matter of fact, he who dies with the most toys still dies. He still has to give an account for his life. But that time that we take to give concern to the world around us, a lot of times that is God directing us to be his powerful presence to those, but we don't feel like we can. What I spoke of when we spoke in this chapter a few weeks ago was when we don't feel like we can, we're telling God we don't have confidence in you. We're telling God that we are not the ones that have the power and might to do it, but He already knew that. And that's why He sent the Holy Spirit. That's why He sent the Helper, the Comforter, to be with you, because you really don't have what it takes to get the job done, whatever that job is that He has in front of you. Only He does. When we looked at this last time, we also saw that because Peter and John released themselves to be used by God through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, not only did we have a testimony from this cripple, but you also had multitudes that paid attention. And they became believers as well. Peter and John can't take that credit. Only God can. So remember those thoughts as we looked at this previously, as we go through this today. Because what God does is He still uses us to accomplish His purpose. He still uses us to accomplish His purpose. Look with me in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." You know, there's just something real quick I want to pull out of that last verse, and then we're going to look at a little bit more. If you have Jesus, you have enough. If you have Jesus, you have the riches and wealth of eternity. You have a bank account in heaven that won't run out. Moth won't destroy it. Rust won't corrode it. It will not fade away. It is reserved in heaven for you for all eternity. If you have Jesus, you have enough resources by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit to do whatever job He's called you to do. For this cripple, when Peter and John says this to them, and they're looking at him, and they say, rise up and walk, for this cripple is the resources of God that accomplished a great feat in this man's life. And the resources of God does that in our lives too. Now look what's going on. It's a normal entrance into the temple. They're just going there at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, to go to the temple. They know that where the masses are, where the people are, that's where the opportunities exist. Of course, there was no shutter in place things going on during this day and time. But you know what? There's still masses to be reached, even from the confines of our own homes. The telephone still works. The internet is operational. Words still carry meaning, and there's still masses to be reached. I believe that more people have been exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ through their friends, through their coworkers, this week alone than has been confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ in many, many weeks and months and even years prior. I believe because we've had to use Facebook and Instagram and other things on the internet to communicate with the church, and the church, the people of the church, to communicate with one another, that the gospel of Jesus Christ has gotten into more of our co-workers and friends and families' lives because of those vehicles of communication this week than any other time that I've witnessed. I've heard people giving testimonies of that. And that's why I say to the church, you know, if you're doing a Bible study at home, if you're doing a Sunday school lesson for your Sunday school class, record it. Put it up on your Facebook page, but let Pastor Jeff know so that we can put it on Central's Facebook page so you can be an encouragement to the body as well. And you know who's going to see that? It could be possibly one of my friends. It could be one of Pastor Jeff's friends that maybe are far from God. And seeing that on Facebook might be another touch of the gospel of Jesus Christ that God is weaving in the net to catch them into faith, to bring them into the family of God. But this is what's going on here. It's a normal entrance on this day. A normal entering of the temple at the hour of prayer, where the people are so that the opportunities might be found. But it was changed in a moment, in an instant, by the ignition of God's power. It was changed whenever all of a sudden Peter sees and John sees this man that asks of them for money. He asks of alms. And when John and Peter saw him and they fixed their eyes on him, it was a purposefully intentful stare. They were looking at him much like I think Jesus had looked at them when he had questions or directions for them throughout their ministry. And Peter's response shows that he knows the presence of God is there. He doesn't have to wonder if God might do something. He knows that the presence of God is actively alive in that place. Believer, wherever you go, there the presence of the Lord is. Stop taking the two or three gathered out of context. That's not the presence of the Lord. That's church discipline and agreement being binding on the decision of church discipline. But I can tell you, the presence of the Lord is there with you. It's there with you whenever and wherever you go. And God prompts the believer to put that presence on display, to let that presence be known. Look at what happened here. So that he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He put the name of Jesus on display. Verse 6 shows that Jesus is the answer for all of our problems. You get to verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Again, it's God. It's all God doing. What God does is God shows his power. So not only does God show his presence through the testimony of Peter and John, but now God shows his power through the healing of this crippled man. And as he shows his power, the healing is evidence enough that something amazing has taken place. Peter's confession shows what that is in verse 6. The evidence of that is now being seen in verse 7 and following. So, in verse 8, he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. I don't know what his verbal communications were, but I do see what his physical communications were. His physical communications looked like that of joy. It looked like that of excitement. Looked like that of a schoolboy in a schoolyard who's figured out something fun to do in the playground. Because for the first time in years, this man can now walk. And not only does he walk, but he's experiencing all these other things. Leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple. I tell you, the excitement there had to be tremendously great. And excitement is infectious. As this man who has been crippled is celebrating what's going on right here and right now, you better believe there are many other people taking note. Isn't that the one that's always begging? Isn't he the one that's laid in front of the temple by people that carry him there? He's not being carried. He's not downcast. He's not downtrodden. He's excited. And he's walking. All of this is demonstrating the power of God. God shows his power, and he still shows his power today. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. So many terminologies we use, but we're talking about salvation. That's an inward change where God comes and he recreates you into a new creation, but oh, it's an outward change too. I was a drunk, now I'm sober. I was a wife abuser, and now I love her and cherish her more than anything in this world. I was a liar, and now I'm an honest man. You can put these very physical, very actual changes to the lives of thousands of people who have found Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. The powerful presence of God has not changed. The demonstration of that powerful presence of God is still active in the world today, and God still shows his power through the works that he does. The people began to see this evidence. They began to take note of the power of God healing them. And then God shows us his purpose. So you keep looking. And what you read here in Scripture, beginning in verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. It's that wonder and amazement that people recognize God is doing something tremendous. I believe people are seeing that today. I believe that people are seeing in wonder and amazement how the church, hopefully you too, as part of the church, are not panicking, are not running around like Chicken Little, are not blaming all this on some conspiracy of the government. We don't know what all this is about, true. But God is still in control. And when the church is walking around in a leaping, excited momentum because we know that God still reigns, and we're not getting down because, well, you know, this is the... Did God stop speaking? Did he lose his power? Did he lose his authority overnight? He is still in control. And his control should have us as excited, as monumentally excited today that it had us on the day that we met him as our Lord and Savior. We should always remember that, you know what, he's a God who is worthy of worship in all seasons of life. And the people were filled with wonder and amazement. And when you are excited for the Lord, you're going to infect somebody else. I posted a post not long ago as all this started coming out, and I started seeing the fear get broadcast all over media. And I posted the post that said, fear is very contagious. It is. But you know what else is equally contagious? Excitement, wonder, amazement, knowing that God is in control and expressing that through the way you walk, like this crippled man understood quickly in a crash course, will also bring other people to that wonder and amazement. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Now, as the lame man, verse 11, who was healed, held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him perfect soundness in the presence of y'all." You see, you got to give credit where credit's due. God is the only one that works in the world today to bring something this glorious, to bring something this powerful. And Peter says, "I'm not going to steal any glory from God. All the credit goes to him. All the credit is about the works he done." And what did Peter do? He took it back to Jesus. He took it back to the work that God did through the person of Jesus in coming to die on the cross to pay a sin debt for us. You see, Jesus didn't owe for that sin debt. We do. Jesus was perfect. He was sinless. He never broke one of God's commands. He never had one thought outside of holiness and perfection. But you and I, we're guilty. We're guilty of sin. And when Peter brought this back, he was reminding the people of what Jesus did. Jesus died and paid the sin debt in full. And paying the sin debt in full now cleanses the person who receives Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's why we can be the temple of the living God, because we've been cleansed by forgiveness. We've been cleansed through that salvation that God has given us. And we become the temples of the living God. And the Holy Spirit takes up residence. And it's the Holy Spirit that did the work. And Peter's given full credit to that. I'm so glad God uses people like Peter, like John. I'm so glad he uses us. We're still not worthy, but we've been made worthy. We've been made worthy by the work and presence of God through the Holy Spirit to do what he's called us to do. So how can God use us during this time? Look for the doors to be open. Look for the opportunities to come your way that God might want to use you in a neighbor's life, in a friend's life, in a family member's life. Look for the opportunities to share the glory of God the best way you can in the moments that you can. And say to yourself, you know what, if God's going to do something, he's going to do it. I just want to be available that he may use me if he so chooses to use me. And I don't think Peter and John went to the temple that morning thinking this would happen, but it did, because they were available to be used by God. Your sin does not deter God's salvation. He saves you because you're a sinner. It's because you're a sinner that you need salvation. Your sin is actually the only prerequisite for salvation. And so then he saves you. How come we now think that being saved, any sin, would keep us from being used by God? Listen, we've been given perfection. It's a gift. It's not a gift to give us license to do whatever we want to do. But it's a gift that puts us in the right standing with God so that His powerful presence can then be born out of that. God can use you. You're not to this or to that. It doesn't deter God. It didn't deter Him before salvation. It doesn't deter Him now. Matter of fact, Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love to us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And now that we're saved, don't you think His bond with us is even closer? He calls us His bride. We're betrothed to Him. And so He can use you, and He will use you, even through the days that we're going through. Your doubt does limit. Your doubt is what keeps us from coming to salvation. It keeps us from confessing the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It keeps us from believing that He died for our sins. So believer, if you've already been saved, and you are saved because you fully trusted in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then don't let doubt come and rob God's glory now. Don't let that stop you from being what God's called you to be. Once you've trusted in the work of God and the presence of God is in your life, once you have that powerful presence of God, you're ready to be used by Him. Don't let doubt assail the glory of God. Don't let it overcome the work of God. Doubt is what can rob us of what God wants to do. All you need to do is what Peter and John did. They listened to God as they went, and we see this man healed, and we see the people have crashed in together to see what's going on. We see that Peter has a chance to teach them about the salvation through Jesus Christ. And he gets to verse 17. He says, "Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all His prophets that the Christ would suffer, He has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began." And He gives them a background lesson of what God's work has been up even through this time and beyond. God is always at work. He's at work in saving. He's at work in keeping. He's at work in delivering even what He's promised through the end days. A lot of people have asked, are we in the end days right now? We're a lot closer than we've ever been. The world stage is set. I don't think that there's anything else that needs to take place as far as fulfilled prophecy for the return of the work of God to bring us to the point of tribulation. Matter of fact, we've seen how widespread things can become real quick in our day and age. And so I'm just going to give the challenge, be ready. Be ready, for we don't know exactly what the next exact work of God's going to be amongst us. But we do know He's still doing His work. He's still doing His work through us, and He's still doing His sovereign work that He's going to complete in that day. If you skip ahead to verse 4, it says, "Now as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducee," we're in chapter 4, verse 1, "the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody for the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. How many is enough to make a decision to do what God's told you to do? 5,000, is that the number that would bring you to the point where you would say, you know what, I'll do exactly what God has told me to do because 5,000 people will get believed? Well, if I put that rationale to the decision of whether we stayed opened or closed, then for the sake of the dozen or so that would be very adversely affected should they get this pandemic, we would have had church. But you know what? For the dozen or so, no. For the one, that would have been affected, I would have closed the doors of this church, because we don't want to have one of our brothers and sisters getting infected by this disease and dying. But we have an infection of salvation that we can give everybody. And all we have to do is what God has already told us to do. And when we do what God has told us to do by the presence and power of His Holy Spirit, somebody, one person gets saved, you know what? That's enough. We are living in a day and age where I hope and pray you're letting God do what God wants to do through you. Once you have the powerful presence of God in your life, you're ready to be used by Him. I said it before and I'm saying it again, because I want you to hear He will use you. You don't need seminary training. You don't need a plethora, a multitude of books on your walls. You don't even have to know the word plethora. Isn't that amazing? All you have to know is that Jesus saved me, and He can save you too. All you need to know is that you listen to the presence of God. All you need to know is that His word is sufficient to do His work. Then you leave the results to Him. God is in the business of showing Himself through people. I'll remind you of 2 Chronicles 6:19. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to do what? To show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. May that be your heart. May that be the life steps that you take as you go about your normal day, as you go about coming and going. When God opens the door for you to minister to somebody like He did for Peter and John to this cripple, will you please just simply be available for God to use you, that your heart would be given to God, and that those situations would become monuments of His glory to be demonstrated to a world in need. If the powerful presence of God abides in you, and as you listen to God to do what He says, you'll be an exhibition of His power, of His glory, of His grace. You'll be something that others will be able to see and know that there is a God who reigns in heaven. And may these days afford us more of those opportunities.